the 105.7 The Fan Traffic Center.
Good morning. 95 northbound, right at exit 58 in Baltimore City. That's Dundalk Avenue. An accident has the right shoulder blocked. And in Owings Mills, Reisterstown Road northbound, right at Hooks Lane, there's a gas leak there, shutting down the northbound lanes. With your traffic, I'm Maria Dennis.
From the Anderson Automotive Studios, this is WJZFM, Cadenceville, Baltimore's sports talk at 105.7 and always live on the free Odyssey app. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Ben Hall.
It wasn't the prettiest series for the Orioles, but they were able to take 2 of 3 in Kansas City and win their fourth series of the season. They used a 6-run sixth inning to pull away from the Royals. Manager Craig Albernaz talked about what went right for the offense.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, that's, I would say that's what our offense is capable of. Like, 6 runs an inning is a big ask, but I think the quality at bats, passing the baton, the big blow by Mayo, you know, just everyone chipping in. Calzo had a great day. It was good to see that. You know, just everyone kind of, JJ with another big hit. It's just great at bats, pile on top of each other and passing the baton. And that was a great inning for us.
Pete Alonso and Kobe Mayo led the charge at the plate, driving in 5 of the Orioles' 8 runs with both guys going deep. The Birds will have an off day Thursday before returning home for a 3-game series with the Red Sox this weekend. From the Bob Bell Nissan Kia of Essex Weather Center, temps are in the low 70s with sunny skies. Tomorrow has partly cloudy skies and a high of 75. I'm Ben Hall, Ravens Terps, and your home for the most Orioles coverage, 105.7 The Fan.
Rob, Jeremy, Ed, and Joe, the Big Bad Morning Show. Sports Radio, 105.7 The Fan.
In the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris will join us in the 7 o'clock hour. Get your feet on your floor. Jumpstart your day with your boys on this Thirsty Thursday. As GM that just comes
in. Yeah. Big day with the NFL draft, so I'm assuming it's going to be a lot of focus on that. But, yeah, I mean, tonight's kind of exciting. You said you enjoyed going out to watch this.
No. I said I have to go out and watch
Okay.
this. Because I would fall asleep. I told you, I'm the guy that could wake up the next morning and just see who got drafted. Yeah. I'm not a fan of the show.
Yeah.
I'm just not. I'm a fan of the draft. I'm just not a fan of the show.
I like it all. But I understand too, like I talk about the schedule release and this is better than the schedule release. Don't get me wrong, but there's a lot of similarities to, yeah. I can wake up in the morning and read who they got
exactly.
And not wait through all this stuff.
The process of it, the draft excites me. It does. But not the show of the draft.
Is that why your nipples are hard?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because I got a Lauryn Hill shirt on. That's why my nipples are hard. Yeah, but I don't want to be, you know, misconstrued. I love the draft. I just, you know, the talking heads, you know. But you said this guy was going to go here the entire 2 months before the draft.
Yeah.
And now we're acting like you didn't say that.
Well, again, when we were bringing this up before, it's when people give out grades on the draft, what are you grading them on?
Exactly.
What you thought they should have done, what they actually did. And there's also the narratives that get built up beforehand where it's like, I think this guy should go in this place. And then he slides in the draft, and then you beat up every team for letting him slide. And then 2 years later, when the guy's not doing anything in the league, we don't talk about it.
I guess the thing is this. You got 10 people who put out their draft board. I couldn't give a rip about your board.
Mm-hmm.
And we're constantly reminded of it during that 3 or 4 hour broadcast. And I'm like, dude, I could watch Twitter. Say, oh, he got drafted here. Okay.
You'll find out fine. Sooner, too.
I'll do all the other things that I have to do around the house and watch it on Twitter. Okay, he got drafted. And I would follow it there. And I'd be more than happy to do it. But because of this, you know, the job that we have, you know, you got to watch it.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's...
I was talking to Jess. I said, it's like her not watching the Grammys.
Yeah. That's
Jess
fair.
Jess from Mix 106. I said, you can wake up tomorrow and see who the Ravens drafted and your life goes on. I can wake up the night after the Grammys and see who won and my life goes on.
And you can watch the performances you wanted to see and skip out on the ones you didn't.
Yeah.
Well, I like the NFL draft and I, you know, from being such a big college football fan and wondering where these guys are going to go and then even the trades because there's so many rumors out there. Like Jay Glazer said that there is a team that's going to make a huge move.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that, because Jay Glazer doesn't normally.
And he said he's not allowed to talk about exactly what it is until that team's ready to pick, which that would lead me to believe that they traded up.
Yeah.
And there are rumors about the Cowboys trading up. Well, Rashawn on hold. And the signal just went up. Oh, man.
Steelers
talking about moving up to get an offensive lineman, which that would directly affect some of the things we believe at the Ravens. Because if you've read any mock draft, the Ravens will be drafting the guard out of Penn State, Ione. So that's everyone has him mocked to the Ravens, which is anytime that happens, it always makes me think, yeah, that guy ain't coming here.
Yeah. When's the last time that's happened?
That, and they got it right?
For the Ravens. I'm not talking about NFL. For the Ravens. When's the last time we said they were going to draft this guy? What's up, Ben?
Last year. Malachi Starks, it felt like, was pretty consensus. Because Eric talked about it. He talked about last year being kind of frustrated. Because most years it's not right.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But last year a lot of mockers had Malachi Starks.
Malachi Starks.
Okay. Well, I've been there with years where Eric DaCosta, and he did it the Mark Clayton year, where when the Ravens drafted him, he put a name, sealed it, and then they opened it up after the guy that he thought they would get.
Right.
And granted, he has inside information on who they like, but to know how the draft's going to fall and to basically predict what all the teams in front of you are going to do,
right,
says a lot. But I think more
times... Eric DaCosta is impressive. I mean, I know he takes a beating because people want perfection.
Yeah.
But I think he's impressive at what he does. I thought Ozzie Newsome extremely impressive. I think the Ravens have been very, very fortunate to have those two serve as GM.
See,
I couldn't have asked for anybody else.
Outside of the Ravens tonight, I'm very intrigued to see where Jeremiah Love goes. I'm very intrigued to see what the Giants do with their two first-round picks now.
Mm-hmm. You think they use both?
Yeah. I think, because there's too many needs. I think they end up drafting Sonny Styles and taking Jordan Tyson, so they wind up with, you know, one player on each side of the ball, and then guys that they expect that can be impact players. But look, we'll see. This is a very weak quarterback class, in my opinion, very weak, and even top heavy. There's some people that think Ty Simpson's going to go a little bit higher than what maybe some other people expect. But outside of the Giants, the Ravens, seeing where Jeremiah Love goes, and if there's any other big moves, this has been kind of. What's the right word? It hasn't had the same drive it has had in other years, and I think it's because you don't have the star power up top.
I think because you don't have a lot of quarterbacks. I think that's what it is. You have one slam dunk first round draft pick quarterback. You have one. Ty Simpson is iffy. You know, if he goes, many people think it'll be late first round, but there's some believe that he could fall into the second round.
Well, there's some that believe he might get taken in the top 10 because the team wants a quarterback.
So yeah. I think because it's, I mean, say what you want. NFL is a quarterback-driven league. It is. Either during the season, postseason, preseason, draft, it's about the quarterback. And I think the fact that you don't really have a quarterback class, you have a quarterback. Like you said, if the other guy, Ty Simpson, gets picked in any relevant situation, it's based on need, not belief that he's the guy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care how much they're trying to sell you on that.
And I think that's the problem. People don't want to admit it, you know, because you always dog quarterbacks. You quarterback gets this, quarterback gets that. Yeah, they do. But it is the most important position on the field. You don't win without them. You don't.
Yeah, and if you find one early and you're able to save money on it like the Chiefs did with Mahomes, mm-hmm. maybe, and you have that type of success, then all of a sudden you're paying him, and then you see what happens after you pay him. You know, you're trying to figure everything else out.
I think Jeremiah Love might be one of the best running backs to come out in quite some time. Not the best, one of the best. I think he's the real deal. You know, I don't draft running backs early, but if I were a team.
And that was going to put you over the top?
I'd have no problem drafting him in the top 10. I had none whatsoever. If I felt, and unfortunately, most teams drafted in the top 10 aren't one player away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's probably why he'll fall, because if you're in the top 10, chances are you have so many other needs. But I think Jeremiah Love is the best player in the draft.
Do you?
I think he's the best player in the draft.
But Ben, you were going to say something. Who do you think is the best player in the draft? But what were you going to say before?
Before that, though, you guys are talking about kind of just how quiet the draft is. I know we'll get to it. 2022, it kind of was the same vibe. And that's the year that you had Kenny Pickett go wherever he did, Malik Willis. It was just a kind of quarterback draft. And it was the same talk coming in.
And I remember us having that conversation that draft. Like, because it was a slow quarterback draft. It's just,
who did the Ravens take in 2022? Was that
Kyle Hamilton?
Yeah. Man, but I think Jeremiah Love is the best player in the draft.
The only reason I bring that up is that there was no surefire lock of what the Ravens were going to, like, it wasn't, oh my God, they're going to do this. Because that's still, I mean, picking in the same spot. But you got the 14th pick, and then you go, you look at what you have with Kyle Hamilton. People were saying that he was sliding in the draft because he was so talented. Other people are going, what do you see? You draft him, and he puts you over the top.
I think this is probably This is a very, very important draft for the Baltimore Ravens.
As someone said,
this is the crossroads.
If you can make the case that the two best players in this draft are a running back and a safety, it'll tell you everything you need to know about the draft.
You're absolutely right.
Because teams don't like to take them high.
Baltimore ranks as the worst MLB destination. Why? We'll talk about that at 6:45. On the other side, Slugfest in Kansas City. Orioles baseball up next on The Fan.
Bad Morning Show. Vinny and Haney. Inside Access. Live on YouTube weekdays 6 till 6. Search Baltimore 105.7 The Fan. Subscribe for daily shorts right to your phone and never miss what you missed. The Fan.
It's springtime in Baltimore, which means baseball's back, and it's time to start thinking about getting your AC system in tip-top shape for summer. Farnan and Dermer, Maryland's oldest HVAC company, has been serving this community for over 100 years. So the comfort guys, and they're my guys, have been keeping families like mine and yours comfortable with their energy-efficient HVAC systems. Act now and receive $3,000 off select high-efficiency HVAC systems from BGE. And be sure to schedule an AC Precision tune-up with Farnan and Dermer today, because before you know it, the sweltering summer heat and humidity will be here. Preventative maintenance keeps your system running at peak efficiency, and it ensures that your system will operate at its best when the weather changes. For just $89, Farnan and Dermer will conduct a precision tune-up that'll have your AC cranking and ready for the summer heat. If you need a repair, same-day service is available. That's because Farnan and Dermer are your rapid response heating and AC repairs and replacement specialists. So call the comfort guys today at 410-367-7777 or visit them at farnandermer.com. Farnan and Dermer, Baltimore's most reliable air conditioning, heating, and plumbing service. They've been making your family's business, your family's comfort, their family's business since 1902.
From the 105.7 The Fan Traffic Center.
Good morning. The inner loop of the Beltway looks good. No problems. The outer loop running smoothly as well, and the tunnels, no issues there. In Owings Mills, the Reisterstown Road northbound is shut down at Hooks Lane due to a gas leak. Also, you're not able to exit 695 onto Reisterstown Road northbound because of the shutdown. With your traffic, I'm Maria Dennis.
The Big Bad Morning Show is sponsored by Vinny Steele, your home sold guaranteed realty.
Come on. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn. Orioles win last night, or yesterday, I'm sorry. Afternoon baseball yesterday in Kansas City. 8-6. Not a great game, not a good game at all by Chris Bassitt. He goes 5 1/3 innings, giving up 5 runs on 8 hits. But his offense kept pace of Michael Wacha and company. Michael Wacha goes 5 1/3 as well. He gives up 6 runs on 7 hits.
Yeah, Gunnar Henderson still hasn't figured him out.
No, he's not. Gunnar Henderson was the only person in the lineup without a hit.
I like what Bassitt said after the game, that, you know, he's basically become a liability, and that's not what he was brought here to do. He said, I'm here to eat innings, and not just eat innings, good innings. You know, that's what I want to do. And he had an opportunity yesterday to stay out there, maybe give him a little bit of length and get that win. And, of course, you know, you saw what happened. He was hitting too many bats. It wasn't falling behind. I think early on the struggle was finding his fastball and locating it. For a guy that has 6 pitches and then calls his own game, you know, I'd like to think that the pitch you throw the most is going to be a very important pitch to kind of get down.
Yeah. Just not a very good outing for him yesterday. Dylan Beavers did have 2 hits. It's good to see that.
Do you like him batting third? They gave Adley the day off.
I don't like him batting third, but I don't want to.
I do with a righty on the mound and the simple fact that he's a guy that gets on base.
I don't know who the other option would be. And so under these circumstances, yes, but it's not my ideal number 3 hitter.
I don't think I could move. Like, I would love Calder to have a little bit more protection and see some more fastballs, but we're at that point where it's like you're not going to coddle him and put him somewhere in the lineup just to, suffice what you think some of his weaknesses are, because we know he's not hitting any changeups. And in the bottom of the lineup, if you don't have any protection around you, I thought he hit a ball unbelievably hard. I don't know how hard it was, 114 miles an hour off the bat or something yesterday. Some good signs there. And then
to the third baseman?
No, down the right field line. I thought he hit a, Couser did.
Okay. All right.
And then we talked about Mayo. Mayo hit a piss missile, man. That thing is, it's, I've never, Albie said it after the game, he's never seen a ball hit to that area of that stadium.
He hit it over the fountains.
Yeah. Usually they go in the fountain or in front of it.
He hit it over the fountain. And looks like he was a little off balance, Jeremy. He reached for it.
Yeah.
He has tremendous power. It's just a matter of putting it all together. I mean, I don't.
Sometimes it takes longer.
He's a big boy. He is. He gets a hold of one, he can do some serious damage. Just it's a matter of being consistent. And I just question whether or not he has that. And like, but like you said, TG, and I agree with you, sometimes it takes some people longer than others.
Well, we went over it. I saw the thing that was put together. I retweeted yesterday, and it was about Kobe Mayo and Kyle Sowers kind of comparing what they did in their first however many games.
Give it to us again.
Give me one second.
Oh, I didn't think you had to look for it. I'm sorry.
No, no, it's right here. I just, and Joe Paparotto did it. Kyle Stowers' first 117 games. This is going into April 21st. Six homers, 15 doubles. He had 115 strikeouts of 21 walks, a 208 average, 600 OPS. Kobe Mayo, first 120 career games, couple more, three. 11 home runs. This is before the home runs you just hit.
Right.
14 doubles, 124 Ks to 39 walks. 193 average, 605 OPS. Everybody knew Stowers was going to be a superstar, right?
Right.
Even with those numbers, they all knew it before they traded him. but they're always ready to get rid of somebody. Oh, I can't believe you traded. That's what he was doing here. And to be fair to Stowers.
Well, that's not all here. That's also the beginning of the Marlins. He didn't play 100-something games here.
No, no. He was like 170 here is what he hit.
No. I mean, that's the first 100-something games.
I'm saying when he was here, he hit like a .170. Yeah. So he started off better with the Marlins. But the point of this is, too, is like, you know, Stowers wasn't given a great opportunity here because of all the other outfielders. He played sparingly. He didn't get the opportunity that Mayo even got at the beginning of this year where it's like, hey,
we're going to play every day.
We're going to pencil you in the lineup almost every single day.
He got that after the trade deadline last year out of necessity. He got that at the beginning of this year out of necessity because of the injuries.
Yeah.
So he's been given the opportunity. When it's all said and done, Jeremy, when this team gets healthy, if they get healthy, you're going to look at where he is, and regardless of what they decide to do, no one would ever be able to say he wasn't given an opportunity.
Yeah.
I'm hoping he makes life hard, difficult for them. I would love him to turn around and be Jeremiah Jackson and start, man, we're going to put this guy when these guys come back. I would love him to be that guy. But right now, despite the last two games hitting bombs, he's not. If guys got healthy next week, I'm still sending Mayo down.
Yeah, but it's a good problem right now because if he starts hitting, like I'm one of two things. Either he starts hitting, you're like, hey, he's figured it out and we've got something here to work with. Or he starts hitting and you go, somebody else might like the way he's swinging the bat right now. Maybe we can go get something else that we need.
There you go. Because I think this team is in need of pitching. I do.
I don't listen.
I like Chris Bassitt, the person. I told you that in spring training. But if you remember, I didn't like the signing. Didn't like the signing.
Mm-hmm.
And still don't. I didn't like the signing. I like Chris Bassitt, the person. Chris Bassitt, the person, is the man. Great guy. I love seeing him when we go in the clubhouse. Always has something good to say. Great personality. All those things. All of those things. I just don't know if he can help us. I didn't know if he could help us before we signed him. That's not the one I want. I remember, I was not in love with that. You know, you were trying to sell it to me. I'm like,
Yeah, that was Buck Showalter's favorite signing in the offseason.
It was.
When you look at what he does, think about what Buck likes. He likes to have stability and knowing what you bring to the table. He's usually a guy that's going to be middle of the pack ERA. He's going to put some guys on bases, but as we've said, he's going to eat innings. Every fifth day, he shows up. And he still hasn't given you a quality start this year, which is unlike him. But maybe at some point he does catch that stretch. But it's kind of hard to plan for that with these older pitchers saying, yeah, he's going to figure it out.
That's what I didn't like about it. I didn't want to go that way. I didn't want to go over 32 and sign a free agent pitcher. I didn't. 32, 33, around that time. I didn't
either. 32, 33 million. I didn't want to go over that.
I didn't want to go north of 35 years old. 410-583-1057 is the number. Eli in Parkville. What's up, Eli?
Morning, fellas.
Morning.
Hello?
Yep.
Are y'all there?
Yeah, we got you. Can you hear us?
All right. Yeah, I can hear y'all. All right. If they make a trade for a Kobe Mayo, I think I want an outfielder. I just want like a center fielder, somebody that play good defense, and then we can rotate the rest of our outfielders. I think Fishing will be fine. I think Bass will figure it out. I don't think he's our Charlie Morton.
Can I ask you this, Eli? What kind of center fielder do you think you'll get for Mayo?
A prospect from AAA.
If you're trading Mayo, you're not trading him for a prospect.
No, you're not.
You're trading him for something to help right now.
Right.
So like I'll give you an example. The Mets keep playing like trash, would you listen to Luis Robert for, I don't know what his contract situation and all that is. I'm trying to think of a player that would play center.
And my point with Eli, if you trade Kobe Mayo for a center fielder, you'll get a center fielder who's on a level of Tavares. So why would you trade him for that when you already have
If he starts hitting, I mean, you still have years of control of Kobe Mayo. If somebody thinks he's going to be a good player.
But my point is, why would you trade him for something that a level that you already have?
But I'm saying, I think you can get more than a Tavares.
That kind of level? Yeah. I'm not talking about a younger version of that. I'm talking about the style of play. I don't think you're going to get a potential all-star center fielder for Kobe Mayo.
No, but
I think he's talking about help us now. I want to trade Kobe Mayo for help now.
But it only matters who has something to trade. Like, you have to find the right. That's why I threw out Luis Robert. I don't know what his contract situation is. The Mets look like ass right now. They can't find ways to win.
How much control does he have?
That's got to be towards the end of it. But you're getting a guy towards the back end of his contract, unless he signed something with the Mets. I don't remember. But I'm just throwing a name out there of a player that could help now that a team might be willing to move.
And my point is he a better option than Tavares?
Yes, 100, without
you
a
think
shadow.
So?
Yeah, that's a middle-of-the-order hitter right there.
He hasn't hit middle-of-the-order power since 2023.
What are you talking about? He's been hurt. He's always hurt.
That's why I don't want him. That's my point.
No, you're talking about like the different types of... He's a way better player than Tavares.
He hadn't done it. That's like trading for O'Neal. He has tremendous power, but he's going to be hurt. 410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Jay Glazer says Steelers are trying to move up for an offensive lineman. Do the Ravens counter? We'll talk about that at 7 o'clock, but on the other side, you talk about Tavares. What about Jeremiah Jackson? Jeremy, where would the Baltimore Orioles be without their backups? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Insights and analysis from the Fans, Vinny Serrato, former NFL general manager and director of player personnel.
He'll go up and get the ball. I mean, it was impressive watching him on film, but he is a really good tackler. He'll come up hard, aggressive.
Every day, Vinny provides grades and predictions for Ravens players and teams in our division.
Baltimore Ravens select.
Never miss a moment. Subscribe to Vinny and Haney on the free Odyssey app.
Hey, whatever you call it, McDonald's. Get the app. What are you waiting for? You can order like a pro if you download the McDonald's app today. The app certainly has its privileges, like ordering your favorites ahead of time, saving money with app-exclusive deals. You can earn free food. What's better than that? And getting your favorites delivered with McDelivery. It's deliciousness at your fingertips. So make sure you download the McDonald's app to take advantage of all the great deals that they have going on. Stop wasting time and order on the McDonald's app today. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Big Bad Morning Show. Vinny and Haney. Inside Access. Live on YouTube weekdays 6 till 6. Subscribe for daily shorts right to your phone and never miss what you missed. 105.7 The Fan. From the 105.7 The Fan Traffic Center.
Good morning. The inner loop of the Beltway looks good. No problems. The outer loop running smoothly as well, and the tunnels, no issues there. In Owings Mills, the Reisterstown Road northbound is shut down at Hooks Lane due to a gas leak. Also, you're not able to exit 695 onto Reisterstown Road northbound because of the shutdown. With your traffic, I'm Maria Dennis.
From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Ben Hall.
The Orioles' bullpen was one of their biggest question marks heading into the season, but it's quickly become one of their strengths. A big reason for that has been the rise of Anthony Nunez. In 12 and a third innings pitched this season, he's given up just 2 earned runs on 6 hits while striking out 15. Nunez earned the first save of his career on Wednesday. Manager Craig Albernaz talked about another solid outing from his young reliever.
Just being himself, you know, it's something where with a young pitcher, when you get thrusted into leverage moments and in the big leagues, you think you should do more. But Nunez has done a great job of just being him and sticking to his strengths and staying calm and attacking the strike zone. And those are great series for him. Get his first win as a big league pitcher and now get his first save. So I'm guessing he's pretty doused right now with a bunch of condiments and beer right now.
From the Bob Bell Nissan Kia Essex Weather Center, temps are in the low 70s with sunny skies. Tomorrow is partly cloudy skies with a high of 75. This Fan Flash is sponsored by Window Nation. Right now, you can save up to 50% off new windows from Window Nation. Plus, you can get them with 0% interest financing for 5 years. Sale ends soon, so visit windownation.com now. I'm Ben Hall, Ravens Terps, and your home for the most Orioles coverage, 105.7 The Fan.
Rob Long, Ed Norris, and Jeremy Kahn. The Big Bad Morning Show. Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
Yeah. Yeah. You gotta stop. You got issues, man.
We were talking about some trades that went down, and we were trying to figure out who this one guy was. And it was a trade for, we were talking about who won Rookie of the Year in 2020. Kyle Lewis.
Who disappeared.
Seattle, and just disappeared. So we were going down the rabbit hole there, and you said he was traded for Hummel. And I was like, Hummel. I was like, is he a pitcher?
And I thought he was a pitcher, too. He's not. He's an outfielder.
And is he an outfielder? And then Rob's like, oh, he looks at it and goes, yeah, he's an outfielder. He goes, isn't there a Hummel that's a pitcher? And I said, yeah, Cole Hummels. He used to pitch for the Phillies. It's not even funny.
Cole Hummels. It's stupid.
And he just didn't even say anything. He looks at me and he goes,
just put my headphones on.
Yeah, I ain't dealing with this.
See, I've learned over the years, Ben, when not to engage. Sometimes you just don't engage. You know, like when you're walking past that fence and that dog is barking, and you just don't engage. Just keep walking.
Keep it moving.
Yeah, and then chances are the dog may stop barking because you're not giving it the attention that they want. Sometimes that's Jeremy. Sometimes you're having a conversation with him. He takes it left. Don't engage. Don't engage because he won't stop.
Yikes.
Will the Orioles be without their backups, meaning guys like Leody Tavares, who went 2-for-4 again yesterday. Jeremiah Jackson has just been a stud. He went 1-for-4 yesterday. And wouldn't you consider right now Kobe Mayo a backup? What he's done in the last 2 games?
Yeah. I mean, look, to call somebody a backup, they're platooning guys and you're getting opportunities to play based upon who needs a day off and who has the ability to play other positions. And, oh, by the way, righty-lefty on the mound.
You know, what did you think, coming out of spring training, Anthony Nunez would be counting on the way he has? He picks up his first save yesterday. What would it be without that guy?
And as you pointed out, Bobby Witt might be one of the best hitters, might be the best hitter in the American League.
He looked foolish.
Yeah, he had him guessing.
He swung at 2 pitches in the left-handed batter's box. I just, like, if you're going to win, if you're going to be a playoff team, and yes, I'm still talking playoffs. If you're going to be a playoff team, you got to have guys that you don't expect to step up. And they may be career years. They may never do it again. But they may not sustain it during the whole season. But those are value times that they can step in and help you win games. And I think the Orioles would be lost without these guys that we're talking about.
See, yeah, I go back to this, and I don't know why we'd even think it's embarrassing to talk about playoffs. I'm not even sure if we did the playoffs starting today, the Orioles are in that picture.
Yeah, they'd be a half game out.
Yeah, so like
wild card.
I mean, we got to get past this. But what I want to see the Orioles do is have the big inning where you take the lead, and then for crying out loud, have a shutdown inning the next inning and not give up 2 more runs. What is it with this team when even when they score? Like, I think Kevin said it last night during the broadcast. Like, man, they like to make things interesting.
They score 2 in the first. Orioles never score, but they give up 1 in the first. Cut the lead in half. That's just, you're right. They can't have nice things. 410-583-1057, that's the number. Let's go out to Manny in Baltimore. What's up, Manny?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
I thought, you know, when I called you yesterday, I said all about that, the coach and all that stuff. We got to sit down, and Lions has to sit down and look and say, look, we have players like Jackson, like you said, Tavares playing good. Mayo's playing good, and see, who? What team? Like you said, the Mets, Philadelphia. All of them are struggling right now. They might have a pitcher they want to get rid of. And Lyles can sit down and see all the veterans, like all the players that are Ruckman. Who can we sign? If we can't sign them all, put a nice package together and get a stud pitcher that can give us seven innings and come out because we have a good team.
So who's going to score if you get rid of all of them for a pitcher?
Go ahead.
You have all the big names. All these big names are going to sign and give them millions of dollars that can't even hit the ball right now.
Yeah, I mean, look.
This stuff's cyclical, though.
We got to sit down and see.
You package those guys that you talk about that aren't hitting the ball for a pitcher. Then who's going to score? Who's going to drive in runs? You still got to score. I hear what you're saying, but like you just said, Jeremy, that's cyclical. It's not. And let's trade everybody who's not doing what they're supposed to do right now.
Yeah. Well,
what are you going to get for them?
God. So when it comes down to baseball, people do this all the time, try to take the guys that you don't want on the team and then convince yourself that somebody else is going
to
want them.
It's not just baseball, it's football too.
And they're going to want to give you their best pitcher. First off, to find a pitcher that's going to give you shutdown innings.
For seven.
It has to be a team that's not in the playoff picture because they're not moving that guy.
How many pitchers are they like that?
And exactly. How many are like that? And oh, by the way, if that guy's on the market, it probably means he's at the back end of his contract or has a bad contract. And on top of it, you got to give up something of value of control. Now, I'm saying I think Kobe Mayo is still valuable, even though some people may not think that. But you're talking your Trey Gibsons, your Georges, all these. You're moving those guys for a player like that.
Ridiculous. Let's go to Antonio in Rosedale. What's up, Antonio?
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. Happy Friday.
Yeah, babe.
Should Jackson Holliday start over Jeremiah Jackson when he comes back from injury? And you guys have a wonderful day.
You have a wonderful day, too.
Let me say this. At second base, Jackson Holliday should be starting at second base when he's ready to play, if he's ready to play at some point. That doesn't mean he's going to be starting over Jeremiah Jackson, because Jeremiah Jackson should be playing somewhere else. It's very short term thinking to sit here and go, hey, this guy needs to start over him because he's hitting. Then where are you playing Jackson? Are you giving up on your number one overall pick?
I would bet you a paycheck that this conversation is not going on in the front office.
It's not.
It's not going on. What are we going to do with Jackson Holliday when he comes back? Roll the orange carpet out to second base and let him play. What are we going to do with Jeremiah Jackson? Find a place to move. He is your utility player. Yeah. He will become a utility player, but he will be a player.
Third base, or you're going to be looking in the outfield, or he's going to DH some days.
He'll play second at times when Jackson Holliday is either playing short because Gunner is DHing. They're different combinations. He's going to get his double-digit at-bats per week. He'll get 12 to 15 at-bats a week. That's what he'll get. But it won't be at the expense of Jackson Holliday. That's just ridiculousness. 410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Is this an uneventful draft this year? We'll talk about that at 7:15. But on the other side, Baltimore ranks as the worst MLB destination according to a publication. Why? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
In terms of the draft, everybody says we're going to take the best player available, and that's usually not true.
Brian Billick on this year's Ravens draft.
But in the 14th, those guys in the 10 to 20 range, those are guys that have been pushed out of the top 10. There could be a major difference between the 14th guy on your board and the 20th guy on the board. Eric DaCosta, obviously a disciple of Ozzie Newsome, will take what their board says is the best player available, even if it's not at a specific position.
105.7 The Fan. This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
We have trouble again in Dallas. Stephen Jones said George Pickens won't get a long-term deal and they expect him to play on the franchise tag. Here's the problem. Pickens hasn't signed the franchise tag and his people have made it very clear that he doesn't have plans to. This is classic cowboy drama. This is where they thrive. If attention is your thing, that's great, but eventually the focus needs to be on winning, and as the saying goes, winning comes at a price. But then that.
Traffic sponsored by Ariosa Mechanical.
From the 105.7 The Fan Traffic Center.
Good morning. In Owings Mills, Reisterstown Road northbound is shut down at Hooks Lane due to a gas leak. In the city, 895 southbound is slow from Eastern Avenue through the Harbor Tunnel. And 295 southbound just past 175, an accident has two right lanes and the right shoulder blocked. With your traffic, I'm Maria Dennis. Are you stuck in a dead-end mechanical construction job? Well, it's time to build a real career, not just collect a paycheck. Ariosa Mechanical is hiring skilled commercial foremen and mechanics right now. Join the team at ariosamechanical.com.
A cop, a coach, a con man, and an average Joe. The Big Bad Morning Show, 105.7 The Fan.
In the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Very interesting article. It's in The Athletic. Stephen J. Nesbitt did it. Jacob Calvin-Meyer made us aware of it. Now, there's a poll done of players. Now, he didn't tell us what players did this, Jeremy. And this poll was done last season. So, the Athletics and the Rays are not included in this because they were in temporary stadiums.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the players talked about ranking stadiums based on stadium ambiance, facilities, and the city itself. The tops were, destinations were, in this order, the Cubs, the Padres, the Mets, the Yankees, and the Dodgers and the Nats were a tie. The worst, the Baltimore Orioles. They ranked in the bottom three in all three categories.
You can probably
then the Royals, then the Reds, then the Tigers, then the Pirates.
You can probably speak to this more because you're behind the scenes there and get to see it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was reading up on this, a lot of it about where players can work out and they're next to the dumpsters.
Right, right.
And, you know,
and it's all about the visit. They said the visiting clubhouse is outdated. The workout is outside in the hallway next to the dumpster. Also, the ambiance, they said, for instance, does the stadium have any juice on a Tuesday night ball game? And so, you know, it's obvious that this has nothing to do with the stadiums itself because Baltimore and Pittsburgh are both in the bottom five, and many people regard them as having two of the best stadiums in all of baseball.
Yeah, I've seen some funny things on this where, like, somebody was like, well, I don't care if the road teams don't have a good time when they're in Baltimore. Screw them. And I'm like, you know what? Okay. I still think you should make the situation not necessarily favorable, but it shouldn't be below standards or anything when guys come to town. But the other people were going, well, if you make it bad and they're coming here and not enjoying it, why would they want to come here as a free agent? Well, I'll tell you why, because they're not going to be in the road team's locker room. That's why, or clubhouse. You'd be in the home team's clubhouse.
You know what makes people want to come here as a free agent? If you can compete and you can pay.
Yes. Those are two important
compete
things.
Compete on the field. And in the checkbook. Those are the two things they want. All that other stuff, hey, come on, stop.
Nonsensical.
Yeah. But I thought it was an interesting article because I never would have thought of Camden Yards being rated at the bottom of anything because of our Camden Yards experience.
But being there, can you understand why they would rate it that way? Like, you've been in other stadiums, too, where...
I am in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, Jeremy, there's... Which one is it?
Because the
one feels like you're in the hallway. It's so tight. I can't. Where was I? Was it Cincinnati?
Yeah, maybe it's just because your head's so big. You thought it was.
No,
tight.
Dude. There's some clubhouses that like. Oh.
More like minor league stadiums.
Because yeah.
I would figure the one clubhouse that you might not be in as much would be the road team here in Baltimore. How often do you go in there?
If there's a reunion.
Okay.
Like a player, former player comes back, I'll go over there and talk to him.
Gotcha.
If something big happens, if a guy does something huge, like when Kyle Stowers hit with three home runs, you know, I went, you know,
yeah.
You go over there then, and things like that. That's a returning player who had a great game. Other than that, in my job, you know, I do O's extra. In my job, there's very little reason
to
go over to the visiting the clubhouse. I've been over there, and yeah, the home clubhouse is better than the visiting clubhouse.
That's my point. When you're on the
road
with
the places,
Orioles, you're seeing the other teams.
Exactly. But I've also, there's times because there's a reunion, I may go over to their clubhouse and talk to their people. So I remember going a couple of years ago when it was Trey Mancini with the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
So we went over to the Cubs locker room. You know, this year, I didn't have to go Pittsburgh's clubhouse because I literally saw Ryan
O'Hearn
walking through center field wall onto the field to get to their clubhouse through the dugout, so I didn't have to go over there. But in most situations, the home clubhouse is better. I don't know, man. I P- Pittsburgh's wasn't bad. For Pittsburgh to be here, that clubhouse situation wasn't bad.
I mean, that's hard for me to speak to without being able to see a lot of these places.
I know some people that went to Pittsburgh for the series. We didn't have a bad time in Pittsburgh in terms of, it's talking about the city itself.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought the clubhouse situation in Pittsburgh wasn't horrible. I've been the worst.
But Pittsburgh falls in line with the same thing as Tuesday Night Juice. They're not having that.
Yeah.
You know, like when you think about, so the one of the things considered in this, if you look at some of the teams at the bottom, there were a lot of teams that were losing teams, right?
And I tell you this, remember I said to you, the NFL is dogging San Diego because that's a sports town? We were there, if I'm not mistaken, last year was weekday games. It wasn't a weekend series. I think the weekend series was San Francisco. The weekday series was San Diego. And that place was jumping, Jeremy. So, yeah, that place, as a city, as a sports city, we would go out and we would go to some of the bars and they were talking about the baseball team. They were still talking NFL because I think this was September. We were getting close to the NFL season. It's either late August or early September. They were still talking NFL. And I remember coming on air saying, I think the NFL is dogging San Diego because San Diego's a sports town. I love that city.
A lot of great German fans there.
I love that city. So I can see that happening. I've been to the Yankee Stadium. I think Yankee Stadium just gets it. I think the Yankees get it because they're the Yankees. I wasn't in love with the Mets situation.
What, when you went there, you mean?
No, I wasn't in love with that. The Mets are on here.
I'm surprised some of the older stadiums get as much love.
I'm surprised the Nats are getting this kind of love.
Yeah.
I'm surprised at that.
Well, I mean, like, again.
The Cubs, San Diego, I can see. The Yankees are always going to get that. I can see that. But I've been to Kansas City, didn't hate it. Been to Detroit. They may be the one that's real tight. I got to remember.
But there are, like, so again, Iowa in college football. I mean, I know you know this. They paint the opposing team's locker room pink.
Mm-hmm.
There are teams that have done certain things, mess with the hot water. You know, all the different things that you have going on that could end up getting, you know, switched or screwed up. You know, when you get there, like, what if the electronics aren't working?
Yeah.
What if, you know, there's all kinds of things.
Joining us right now from Sarasota, Florida, he's Ed Norris. What's up, Ed?
Done. Morning. Thought you forgot me for a second.
No, I never, didn't forget you at all, man.
I had to remind you both. Yeah.
Ed, NFL draft is tonight. Are you pumped?
I am, actually. It's the most exciting part of the spring, I think. NHL playoffs. NFL draft.
That's right. You're going to do the hockey at 7:30. Ed Norris is joining us. And on the other side, Jay Glazer says the Steelers are trying to move up for offensive linemen.
Did the Ravens counter that move? Because they may take who they want. I think some teams are playing chess with the Ravens, Ed. I think John Harbaugh is playing chess with them. And I think the Steelers might do the same thing in the draft.
Possible. I mean, you know, you can't you can't discount what Harbaugh might feel after the end. So, I mean, it's very possible.
Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Big Bad Morning Show. Vinny and Haney. Inside Access. Live on YouTube weekdays 6 till 6. Search Baltimore 105.7 The Fan. Subscribe for daily shorts right to your phone and never miss what you miss. 105.7 The Fan. From the Anderson Automotive Studios. This is WJZFM, Catonsville, Baltimore's sports talk at 105.7 and always live on the free Odyssey app. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Ben Hall.
Draft day has arrived as the first round of the 2026 NFL Draft takes place.